Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. Let's take a few moments to be quiet together before we begin. Tonight, we will not continue in the book. We will do that next week. Tonight, I need to talk about something that Paul needs to hear and be reminded of. And because it's something that will benefit everyone, I am going to do it in this setting. What's the best way of breaking, undoing, nullifying a special relationship? It's very simple, really. It's something Paul has done ever since the first night he sat down to try to get in touch with his guide, if indeed he had one. And before every gathering, he reminds himself of it. Of his intent, of the intent of the time that will follow. And I've shared it before. He says, I allow only, and that word only is the key word, I allow only for that which expresses the Christ consciousness. And only that which is in harmony with the purpose of being, the Father's will. In other words, thy will, not mine, be done. Let the reign of divine truth, life, and love be established in me and rule out of me. All self-will. And may thy word enrich the affections of all mankind and govern them. And to Paul, that last sentence means, and govern them as well. Because, after all, the point is that in the process of saying, thy will, not mine, be done, one puts oneself in a position of having his affections enriched. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to know will happen. You will be changed. Your affections, your loving relationships will be enriched. The way you behave toward your fellow man will be enriched and a blessing. Now, as it happens, this past week has been especially rugged for Paul because, in fact, it's been more than just the last week. In the process of preparing the new residence for the activities of the foundation. There have been many meetings with tradesmen, bids made, ideas expressed, and more involvement, I'm going to say, than usual in ego dynamics. And Paul has found himself manipulated, let's say encouraged to see another's perspective, when what was needed was for the other one to ask, what do you need from us? Because, of course, the needs are unusual when it comes to the work that is being done. In the process, Paul has found individuals withdrawing their willingness to participate if Paul was not willing to yield to what they thought. Now, what did this do? It invited Paul into special relationships, where Paul began to feel it necessary to not be totally honest in order to finesse fulfillment of the needs from these others from them. He began to cater and become very uncomfortable within himself. And it wasn't until just an hour or so before the meeting tonight that he was reminded of this statement. I allow only for that which expresses the Christ consciousness, you see. That would have been the answer, the simple answer, at any point during the last few weeks, when others were trying to be manipulative or controlling or withdraw their support if they didn't get cooperation for their perspective. Now, I, of course, have been talking at some length for many, many weeks now to everyone about the need to do the two-step, the need to hesitate before acting, and ask, Father, what is the truth here? Father, what needs to be known? That is very much the equivalent of saying, Father, I allow only for that which expresses the Christ consciousness. Now, what does that say? That is saying, I choose to be in alignment only with the Christ, only with the Christed perspective, not the perspective of the tradesman, not the perspective of those who would manipulate and control, but within. Father, I allow only for that which expresses the Christ consciousness, and only that which is in harmony with the purpose of being, the Father's will. You see, not Paul's will, not a tradesman's will, not anyone else's will, the Father's will. Now, you know, when you're in a position of being able to do things, one can do things that address needs, and one can also be tempted into doing things that fulfill wants. Wow, I have a chance to have it my way. And that's another distraction from I allow only for that which expresses the Christ consciousness, and only that which is in harmony with the purpose of being, the Father's will. Now, think about it, and this is what Paul needs to think about, and this is where I'm pointing, the direction I'm pointing his nose in. Why wouldn't you choose to do only that which expressed the Christ consciousness, and only that which is in harmony with the purpose of being, the Father's will? Obviously, if you're doing anything else, you're doing something other than the Father's will, and you're out of alignment. You're out of relationship with your Father, and the whole orphan experience begins. The special relationship takes over, and no matter how skillfully the special relationship is practiced, the experience is hell. It simply isn't the inevitable harmonious experience of the Father's will finding expression right where you are. And then what happens? Well, with Paul, he gets frustrated, and he then gets upset, and then he feels fully justified in being angry and expressing the anger. He becomes, believe it or not, mean-spirited. It's not his nature. It's not anyone's nature. But it is what one begins to embody when one is disconnected from his source and feels the awkwardness and discomfort of experiencing something other than his birthright, which, although he may have forgotten, he knows is there, intact, and that it awaits him. And not having it burns him up. Right? That frame of mind compels one to consciously engage in not wanting to express only the Christ consciousness, and not wanting to express only that which is in harmony with the purpose of being or the Father's will. So, you see, although our conversation last week about special relationships seemed complex and complicated, it's really quite simple. And the simplicity of it is illuminated in my request of Paul and my request of each of you, that no matter what circumstance you're in, no matter what is happening, you insist before responding on saying, I allow only for that which expresses the Christ consciousness, and only that which is in harmony with the purpose of being, the Father's will. If anything other than that, is an experience of hell in one form or another, then it behooves you to do this one simple step, this one simple thing. turn your will over to the Father's. Let your will be the Father's will finding expression, because at the bottom line, that is what your will is. It's not here for you to experience and express in an independent, autonomous, frivolous, free way. It's here for you to voluntarily align it with the Father's will, which at the bottom line is what it already is, so that the dissonance of free will vanishes from your experience. And you know what? You can't afford to any more than Paul can afford to wait until pie in the sky after you die to do it. You've got to do it today, here, now, in the political climate, in the financial climate, in the social climate, in the religious climate, whatever, in the business climate, when you're working with tradesmen. Stop. Hesitate. I allow only for that which expresses the Christ consciousness, because I want to experience the heaven of being rather than the hell of being. You see? Now, those words may not have as much meaning for you at the moment as they do and have had for Paul, because those words always have meant that he was setting aside whatever his current best judgments were for something he would prefer to have instead, something greater than what he was experiencing, something that would contribute to his awakening rather than continuing to contribute to a hellish dream, an uncomfortable dream, an unfulfilling dream. And so when he said, I allow only for this or that, he knew he was disallowing anything unlike it. He was disallowing anything he already knew, because it hadn't awakened him yet. And he gave preference and favor to whatever it was that he might hear. And that's the attitude you need to have when you're working with your fellow man, who is also, let us say, coming from ego places, and where you want to be the presence and the evidence of love. You want to be that place where fulfillment occurs rather than an ongoing tension that somehow the two of you manage to keep at a low enough level that you're not suffering too much. I remind you, and I'm reminding Paul, that the call is to remember to do this all the time. Not just when you want to have a quiet, private time with your Father or with the Holy Spirit or with me, but all day long, in the middle of all activities. After all, why not have the more of what reality is? Why not have the better answers in the middle of any transaction you're engaged in, or any negotiation you're engaged in, any relationship you're engaged in? Why not? Oh, it's too demanding. Oh, I shouldn't have to give that much attention to it. I need time for relief. I need time for rest. I need time off from that kind of devotion.
No, you don't.
You need time off from the hell that comes of special relationships. You need time off from negotiations that turn sour. You see? You need time off from suffering. And this is the way. And Paul is hearing what I'm saying. Of course. And it is registering with him. There is still some tendency to justify, not outrage, but certainly distress, in the sense of a desire to get even or bring things to equilibrium, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But that's not healing. That's not allowing only for that which expresses the Christ consciousness. And so he's going to have to let go of that, and everyone else is going to have to let go of it. It's not a viable means of promoting transformation that evidences healing, that evidences renewal of one's divine birthright. Heck, it doesn't allow for the re-emergence of joy and peace. So just how important is it? One might say, oh, I shouldn't have to work that hard, that consistently to be the Son of God. Well, maybe you don't have to work that hard, that consistently, but you might have to let yourself be the Son of God that you are, uninterruptedly, just because that's where the full experience of being the son of or daughter of God lies. You might just do it because that's where your good is. But, like Paul, everyone has to be willing to soberly look at a situation and determine whether there's any justification for withholding the activity that corrects a problem or heals the situation or promotes the holy instant in which one's affections are enriched and which promote the enrichment of the affections of all mankind. That's the simplicity, profound though it is, of what I needed to share tonight with Paul and with everyone else. Be willing to be with it. Be willing to be changed by it. Be willing to let that word only apply to every moment of your daily experience. I will leave it at that for tonight. I love you all. And I look forward to being with you next week.